Namo Vishupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Deving Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayet Nashta prayeshava badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm happy to be back with you all again after some weeks of silence.
在过了静寂的几周之后, 非常高兴又和大家相聚。
I should say, before we start, I'll need to stop a few minutes before, what will be 9 o'clock for you, because I have another appointment I have to go to, at that time.
Also, this class, will be a little shorter.
Yeah, maybe 10 minutes shorter.
Ah. 今天讲课呢，可能不是2小时，是1小时50分钟。马上要去参加另外一场讲座。Okay,
we have been in the last several meetings going through Canto 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam.
在上几堂课，我们讲的是《圣典波迦瓦坛》第七篇。
And we are now continuing with Canto 8 in our overview of the Bhagavatam.
现在我们继续圣典波迦瓦坛第八篇的概览。
With Canto 7, there has been, you could say, a pause in the narrative.
Sorry?
Canto 7, the whole canto was, in a sense, stopping the, as it was a pause. It was moving along and then stopping, and then came Canto 7. And now we're moving again with a narrative.
圣典波迦瓦坛的叙述方式呢是讲讲停停，现在呢我们又到了讲故事的时候了。What
I mean by that is that cantos 4 through 9 are really telling the story of one day in the life of Brahma.
马尔吉的意思是说，从第四篇到第九篇是讲的是在 Brahma 一天中所发生的事情。
In one day of the life of Brahma, there are 14 of these cosmic rulers called Manus.
在 Brahma 的一天中，有14位宇宙的管理者，他们称为 Manu。
And so each of the cantos from canto 4 through 9 are discussing episodes within the lives of these manus.
所以从第四篇到九第九篇就讲的是在这些 manu 统治时期所发生的事情。
So now that story was kind of stopped in the beginning of Canto 7.
第七篇的开头停下来了。
Because this question interrupted. Parikshit Maharaj had a question which led to the entire seventh canto being spoken.
因为在一开头白石大君问了一个问题，就为此而讲述了整部波迦瓦坛的第七篇。
And you may remember the question had to do with whether Vishnu is equal to everyone or not.
你们可能还记得Parashit 大君的问题是 Vishnu 是平等的看待众生还是有偏心呢？
And this led back to the question of Maharaj Yudhishthir when he saw Krishna when he witnessed Krishna killing Shishupala.
这也就让我们又联想起在当年尤迪士迪尔大君他看到了Krishna 杀死了Shishupa然后进入 Krishna 躯体之中的事件。
And then Yudhishthira was very shocked to see soul, the Atma of Shishupal, enter into the body of Krishna.
当尤迪士迪尔大君看到Shishupal灵魂进入 Krishna 的躯体之中的时候呢，他大为震惊。
And he wanted to know from Narada, he wanted an explanation of this.
他希望 Narada Muni 为他做出解释。
And that explanation was the whole seventh canto.
那穆尼的解释就占据了《圣莲波迦瓦坛》第七篇的全部的篇幅。
So now we're coming to the eighth canto, and this is given the title "Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation."
第七篇它的这一篇的主题标题是收回宇宙withdraw of cosmic
creation
收回宇宙创造。
So exactly why it is called that I cannot say just now.
为什么要这么说呢？我现在没办法就告诉你。
Sometimes it seems these titles a little bit, they may have some application to one aspect, one portion of the whole canto.
有时候这 这一篇的主题大标题呢，可能和这篇的内容中的一小部分有一些关联。
And today, after briefly talking about the first chapter, which is giving a lot of names of Manus and their descendants, we'll be getting into the story of Gajendra, the elephant.
我们就简短的去讨论一下第一章，因为第一章呢就是讲了很多 Manu 的名字，还有他们后代的名字，然后我们就会重点去讨论第二章，向往Gajendra的故事。
But before we get into the first chapter, I think this time let's look at what Srila Prabhupada has written in the very beginning, in the chapter summary.
在学习第一章之前，让我们来看看帕夫帕德给这一章所做的一个简短的概要。
Here, Srila Prabhupada is sort of, he's addressing us, his readers, and he wants to tell us about his mission of serving his spiritual master.
在这里，圣帕夫帕德在跟我们这些读者们说话，他简要的谈到了他的灵性导师所赋予他的使命。
He tells how he visited Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in 1935.
他提到了在1935年与圣巴提斯丹塔萨斯瓦提塔库相见的场景。
And this happened at a very holy place of Radha Kunda.
他们见面的地点就在一个非常圣洁的地方 Radha Kunda。
And there, his Guru Maharaj gave him instruction to publish books and also to build temples.
那时候他的 Guru 给了他一些训示，就是建造庙宇，出版书籍。
But he said of these two, the more important one is publishing books.
但是灵性导师也说，在这两项服务当中，出书比建庙更加重要。
So Prabhupada was, of course, he was a householder with business, so didn't really have time. Until 1944, he started publishing his journal, Back to Godhead.
那时候，帕帕德还是一位居士，有自己的生意要经营，所以时间也不是很多。直到1944年，他才出版《回归守神》杂志。
And then he goes on to say how he started publishing his first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in 1958.
然后他又解释了他是如何印出自己的圣严不加瓦坛的第一篇，在1958年印刷出版的。
And then, it was seven or eight years later, he left for the United States, where he arrived in August 1965.
在这他又告诉我们，过了七八年，他是在1965年的8月13号启程前往美国。
And he goes on to say, so now, it's 1976, this is when he has written what he's written here, and he's completed the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam.
现在告诉我们，当时呢是1976年，他已经完成了圣典不加瓦坛第七篇的翻译和评注工作。
And he also mentions that he's published his summary of the 10th canto.
他也提到了，他也出版了第十篇的概要。
And then he says he is praying to the Lord for to be blessed to complete his Bhagavatam work.
他也提到向自己的向主祈求仁慈来完成圣典博伽瓦坛所有篇章的翻译评注工作。
So he's appreciating that he is being blessed by his guru to do this.
他现在意识到他是受到了灵性导师的祝福来做这项服务，他对此表示赞赏。
And he's also appreciating his own followers who are helping him to do this publishing.
他也欣赏他的追随者帮助他来出版这些书籍的努力。
Okay, so then we have this chapter 1 called The Manus, Administrators of the Universe.
第一章的标题是马努们，宇宙的管理者。
And as I said, we get a lot of names here.
就像我刚刚提到的，这里面出现了很多人名。
What's being described is, you could say, a family tree.
我们可以说这是一株家庭之树。
Some devotees have made a graphic representation of all these details of the family relations in the Bhagavatam.
有的奉献者呢，把这博伽瓦坛里面提到的这些人物的关系呢，画成了一张图表。
One devotee in Hungary made a big chart which was published with many, many colors which showed in a very clear way who is who in relation to others and where they are described in the Bhagavatam.
匈牙利有一位奉献者就做了这样的一份图表，他用了很多颜色来指示每一个这个图表中的每一个人和其他人的关系，他在博伽瓦坛是哪个地方出现的。
So for those who like family history, this is a nice thing one can do to make a chart with all these family relations.
对家史感兴趣的人，可以像他一样来做这样的图表，让我们来明白所有的家庭关系是怎样的。
So one may ask, why does the Bhagavatam give us such details as we find in this first chapter.
有人可能会问，圣典博伽瓦坛为什么这样给我们这么多的细节，讲这么多人名啊？
And one can say there are a few reasons. One reason is the Bhagavatam is summarizing what is given in more detail in other Puranas.
有几个原因，其中一项原因呢，就是圣典博伽瓦坛是其他的宇宙古史里面所讲述的内容的一个概要。
And it's highlighting amongst these many, you can say, cosmic family members, it's highlighting the special members, the Bhagavatas.
他也指出在众多的这个宇宙统治者还有这些家人关系当中呢，他最为突出的是那些 Bhagavata, Vishnu 的奉献者。
And it also gives It gives us who are reading or hearing the Bhagavatam a sense of cosmic relation, that we are ourselves somehow part of a great cosmic drama.
对这些聆听或者阅读这部经典的人呢，也给了我们一种宇宙关系的感觉，就是我们也是属于这个宇宙的宏大的一个戏剧中的一个成员。And
of course, the high points of this drama are the various appearances and pastimes of the Lord in so many different forms.
这个宇宙戏剧中的亮点内容就是主的众多的化身，众多的逍遥时光，这些化身的显现，众多的逍遥时光。
And then the high point among all the high points will be the appearance of Lord Krishna.
重中之重就是主 Krishna 的显现。And
therefore, the entire 10th canto, which is taking 90 chapters, which is about more than one fourth of the entire Bhagavatam, is focusing on Krishna.
So the canto 10 has 90 chapter, right? 90，所以圣殿伯伽瓦坛它的第10篇有90章，占了圣殿伯伽瓦坛的1/4的篇幅。 都是为了讲述 Krishna 的逍遥时光。
Yes. So in the beginning of the first chapter, King Parikshit is expressing interest. He wants to hear about these different manus.
Parikshit 王在第一章的开头表达了他想要聆听这各种各样 manu 的事迹的兴趣。
And we may be surprised, why is the king interested in this? After all, he is preparing to die.
我们可能会感到好奇，为什么在为自己死亡做准备的时刻，帕尔西斯王会对这些马努的事迹感兴趣？
But because Maharaj Parikshit is a devotee, he is interested in everything related to the Lord.
Maharaj Parikshit, 他是一位奉献者，所以他对跟主有关的一切事儿，他都感兴趣。
And so he understands that whatever is happening in this universe is related with the Lord.
因为他意识到，这个宇宙中所发生的一切事情都是和至尊主有关联的。
Yeah, so with that eager questioning, then Shukadev Goswami is happy to reply, and then he goes through these lists of descendants of the
Manus，因为他是大军这么渴望聆听，所以苏克雷瓦古斯瓦米很乐意回答，他就给他讲了这个宇宙的曼努的这个长长的名单。And
in verse number 5, it says, Dharma Jnana Upadeshartam. I think this is a kind of key point. These sons were entrusted with preaching about religion and knowledge.
在第五节中提到了 Dharma Jnana Upadeshartam. 这些儿子们被受托来传播宗教原则。
Yeah, so this is really the whole point, you can say. This is why the Bhagavatam mentions all of these persons.
这才是博伽瓦坛为什么会提到这些曼努啊，他的用意所在。
And then another major theme of the Bhagavatam is renunciation.
博伽瓦坛的另一个主题是弃绝。
弃绝。And so we are reminded that Svayambhuva Manu, who we met in Canto 4, he has renounced everything and entered the forest with his wife.
在我们还记得在第四篇中 Svayambhuva Manu 他弃绝了一切进入森林和他的妻子一起去森林苦修。
And he went to the forest, and what did he do in the forest? He stood on one leg, and he just stood there like that for 100 years.
他在森林里面，就是单腿站着，站了100年。
And then he spoke.
然后他开口说话了。
And what he spoke, let us read verse number 9.
他说了什么呢？我们来读读第九节。Manu 说，至尊生物创造了这个充满生机的物质世界，而不是被这个物质世界创造出来了。万籁俱寂时，至尊生物仍然作为见证者、醒觉者，众生不认识他，但他却知晓一切。
And he goes on speaking like that, glorifying the Supreme Person.
他继续这样说，荣耀着至尊主。
And his conclusion is very interesting. In the second half of text number 10,
他的结论是很有意思的，是在第十节的下半部分。
The Sanskrit tena tyaktena bunjita magrida kasya svidanam. This is exactly the same as is spoken in the first verse of the Sri Ishopanishad.
这个的诗节呢，和至尊奥义书中的第一首诗节内容是一模一样的。
The message here is that one should only enjoy what is meant. But one should not take more than what one deserves.
一个人不应该贪心，想要得到自己不该拥有的东西。
One should not take what is not belonging to oneself.
不应该接受不属于自己的财产。
In the last few days in particular, but actually for much longer time, I've been thinking a lot and reading about this big issue of climate change.
在过去的几天，我一直在阅读，也思考着大气变化这个问题。
So for me, this particular message of Svayambhuva Manu is very relevant.
在我看来 ，Svayambhuva Manu 所传递的信息，对我们当今的生活是息息相关的。
We can understand that the reason there is such trouble in the world today, how we are polluting everything and creating global warming is because we are taking more than we need.
我们之所以面对的当今社会的一个气候污染的问题，就是我们在制造环境污染，产生了温室效应，根源就在于我们贪求自己不应该拥有的那些东西。
Swayambhuva continues in verse 11 to talk about the fact that the Lord exists even if we don't see him.
11节中斯万邦布瓦马努谈到了至尊主他存在即便我们肉眼看不到他。
And he goes on like this, glorifying the Lord.
他继续这样荣耀着主。
Now, one might be wondering, because he's standing in the forest by himself, who is he speaking to?
所以当人看到这一段可能会纳闷，他一个人单腿站在森林里面站着，他在跟谁说话呀？
Perhaps we are meant to understand that these manus are so powerful that sages would be able to hear when they speak.
我们需要了解的是，这些 manu 是特别强大有力的。他们说话的时候呢，圣人们是应该能够听到的。
In any case, it is all recorded by Srila Vyasadeva, so we can, so to say, hear what he was saying when he was alone in the forest.
当然了，我们有一个了不起的 Vyasadeva 把释迦牟尼布玛努独自在森林里面所说的话都给记录了下来。
So he's making an interesting point then. He's saying that great saints first engage people in fruitive activities because in this way they eventually will become free from fruitive activities.
在这里他又提出了一个很有意思的观点，就是伟大的圣人们首先让人们从事功利性活动，最终使他们摆脱功利性活动。
Now, this is a point of debate, in Vedanta philosophy.
这是维丹塔哲学里面的一个辩论的观点。
So one position is saying like this, that in order to progress in spiritual life, first we have to follow the directions in Shastra for enjoying in this world.
有一种观点是为了在灵性生活当中取得进步，首先我们要追寻这些经典的训谕，就是让我们在这个世界先尽情享乐。
And then gradually one will become naturally renounced.
然后人会自然而然产生弃绝之心。
And the other position says, no, no, don't waste your time with fruitive activity, even it's following Vedas.
另外一种观点是不应该把时间浪费在这个功利性活动上面，即便这是按照伟达经的训谕去做的。
Instead, just hear about the ultimate truth, reality, and in this way you will become renounced.
只是聆听终极的真理，终极的实在，这样呢你就会自动产生弃绝之心。
And so in the very beginning of Brahma Sutras or Vedanta Sutra, it says Atato Brahman Jignasa. Now therefore is the time to inquire about Brahman, the absolute.
在伟达终极伟达经的开篇就说到了，现在应该是探寻绝对真理凡的时候了。
And the debate goes, so what is the meaning of this now? What means now?
所以有人关于这个当下就会产生辩论，这当下到底指的是什么？
Okay, there's more discussion about how the Lord acts in this world.
关于主如何在这个世间行事，还有更多的讨论。
And then Shukadeva Goswami speaks, and he says, actually, all the time that Swayambhuva Manu was speaking, he was in trance.
Shukadeva Goswami 说 Swayambhuva Manu 说话的时候，他始终是处在神定之中。
And in that condition of trance, he spoke the Upanishads.
在这种神定的状态下，他就教导了我们，这个至尊奥义书。
Now.In the forest, there's always a danger, and the particular danger is of rakshasas.
在森林里面总是有危险存在，特别危险的分子呢，就是那些吃人的罗刹。
And rakshasas, it says here, they want to eat Swayambhuva Manu.
现在这里说到这些罗刹想要把Swayambhuva Manu 给吃下肚。
And then the Lord appeared as Yajñapati, the master of yajna, of sacrifice.
主就作为 Yajñapati,Yajna 的主宰而显现在那个地方。
And he saw what was happening. These rakshasas were chased and demons. They were chasing after Swayambhuva Manu.
看到了，当时罗刹就在追逐 Swayambhuva Manu， 想要吃掉他。
And so the Lord, as Yajñapati, killed them all.
Yajñapati, 把这些罗刹都给杀了。
And then he took the post of Indra.
然后他就接受了 Indra 的地位。
Okay, and then it goes in the rest of the chapter with the names of further Manus. First comes Svarochisha as the second Manu.And it goes on from there with all his descendants.
然后这一章又提到了第二个 Manu Sarochisha 还有他的后裔。
And so I won't linger on that. I think we can move to chapter 2.
这方面就不再过多的讨论了，现在让我们来到第二章。
Yeah, and so we can proceed with the story of the elephant Gajendra.
这样我们就可以讲述象王 Gajendra 的故事。
And this is prompted again at the end of chapter 1 by a question from Maharaj Parikshit.
在第一章的末尾，帕尔什大君的提问引出了项王噶谨者的故事。
Because Shukadev had mentioned Gajendra, so Maharaj Pariksit says, "Oh, please tell me that story. What happened?"
哦，因为 Shukadev Goswami 提到了Gajendra的名字，所以帕尔什大君兴趣就来了。请您告诉我这个项王的故事是怎样的。
So it's just like in a normal conversation, someone is telling something. A story, and then the other person listening says, "Oh, wait, tell me more about that detail."
就像是在普通的对话当中，一个人提到了一件事儿，但是不是很详细，然后听者就感兴趣，哎，你给我讲更多的细节好吗？
Okay, so, Shri Shuka Uvacha Asit Girivaro Rajams.Chikuta iti vishuta shirodena avrita shriman yojanai yuktam uchrita. You could read this first verse.
第一节 Sukadeva Goswami 说，我亲爱的国王，有一座气势宏伟的高山，名为 Chikuta， 海拔一万 yojana 八万英里，被牛奶之羊环环绕，非常秀丽壮观。
Okay, so now we're getting some cosmic geography.
现在我们又接触到了宇宙地理学。
Which may be very wonderful. We can hardly imagine a mountain that's 80,000 miles high.
这很是很美妙的。我没办法想象这种奇观，一座山竟然海拔有八万英里那么高。
what is if we take the country of China from the extreme north east to the extreme southwest? How many miles kilometers would that be?
中国的东北角到中国的西南角，这有多长啊？就是这个距离有多长啊
？Any idea？
谁能猜一猜吗
？Maybe 4,000 miles。
可能是4,000英里。
Or maybe more. I don't know.
也许更多。
So here it says that this Chikuta mountain is 80,000 miles high.
但是这个高山 Chikuta 有八万英里那么高。
And it's called Chikuta, which means it has three peaks.
它名字叫 Chikuta。就意味着它有山座山峰。
And it's surrounded by the ocean of milk.
还被牛奶之羊环绕着。
And again, our skepticism may enter. You say, what? Ocean of milk? How is that possible?
我们的怀疑心又冒头了。什么？牛奶之羊？这个怎么可能呢？
We all know that cow's milk it will go sour after a short time.
我们知道，牛奶只要被挤出来，过了一段时间就会变酸。
So how can we imagine a whole ocean of milk that doesn't go sour?
我们怎么能够想象有这么一个海洋那么多的牛奶，而且还不会变酸呢？
In the next verse, it tells us that the three peaks are of different materials. One is made of iron, one is made of silk, and one is made of gold.
在下一首诗节里告诉我们，三个主要的山峰呢， 也是分别由铁、银和金来堆成。
In any case, it is a wonderful place.
不管怎么样，这是一个非常奇妙的地方。
And it's described as being very beautiful.
这里描述它是非常的景色很秀丽。
There's going to be a lot, the next few verses, a description of the beauties of this nature.
接下来几首诗节里就描述了这里的美丽的自然景观。
At the foot of this mountain, the milk, comes in waves, and when it rolls in, this milk waves, it produces emeralds.
在这个山脚下，牛奶之阳经常会掀起波澜。当这个牛奶它进入到这个和这个山冲刷的时候呢，山路就会产生祖母绿宝石。
And all these higher celestial beings go there to play, the siddhas, the charanas, the gandharvas.
天堂星宿的居民会到那里去玩耍，有那些歌仙，还有 siddhas 神秘仙。
So they go. Yeah, they go there to have a good time.
他们到那地方去享乐。
They go for parties.
那地方去开办他们的聚会。
It mentions there are also lions there.
这里还提到了那里也有狮子。
And so many birds.
还有很多的鸟儿。
And so many lakes and rivers.
有众多的河流和湖泊。
And the water of these lakes and rivers is as clear as crystal.
这些河流湖泊的水就和水晶一样清澈。
Which is very different from our lakes and rivers today, which have all become so much polluted.
和我们现在的河流湖泊备受污染的那种状况是很不一样的。
Then there is in the valley of this mountain, there is a big garden called Ritumat.
在这个山的有一个山谷，它的名字叫有一个花园叫 Ritumat.
And here we get quite some detail about different plants that grow here.
这里告诉我们那里所生长的各种各样的植物。
There's quite a list of all the different plants, fruits and flowers.
这里面给我们罗列了各种各样的花树果树。
So what it's describing, we could say, is natural abundance.
这里描述的是自然的景观，争奇斗艳，硕果累累的景象。
It goes into so much detail. It comes now to describe also the animals living there around this one large lake at the base of Tiputa.
这里面也详细描述了生活在那个区域的湖泊区域的各种各样的飞禽走兽的名称。
So many kinds of birds and also fish and tortoises.
有这么多的鸟类，还有鱼类，乌龟。
And this may also be contrasted with present day conditions.
所以我们当今的这个自然状况呢，也是一个强烈的反差。
Because of the increasing destruction by the human population of our planet, so many species of animals are becoming extinct.
因为我们人类的这个毁灭性的这些举措，使很多动物都灭，种族都灭绝了。
And so many are extinct, and so many more are in danger of becoming extinct.
很多已经种族已经彻底灭绝了，还有一些是处在灭绝的边缘。
And there's so much extinction of different plants.
有很多植物也从这个星球上销声匿迹了。
And so there's a major reduction of what they call biodiversity.
有一个平时就是生物的多样性。
And this becomes very dangerous. It becomes like a feed, you know the word feedback loop. Feedback loop.
Sorry, I don't understand. Can you explain this?
A feedback loop is, it comes from electronics. When you have a sound amplifier,If you take a microphone and you put it in front of the speaker where the sound comes out, then it will create a very loud, disturbing sound.
Yes. 这就是巨大的回音。
That's all. Okay.
Maharaji 刚才给我们解释了这个词的意思呢，就是假设说你用一个麦克风，你把它放在一个人的把这个话筒放在别人面前的时候，它如果太近了，它这个话筒就会发出一个巨大的回音。
So this phenomenon is used as an example.About how our destruction of the environment becomes more and more intensified.
这就是一个比喻。我们对这个自然界的毁灭这个动作呢，是越来越强烈了。
And this is happening all over the planet.
这个星球上面各个地方都随处可见。
Okay, now let's read verse number 20. This is the beginning of the story.
二十节，我们的故事就来到了正题。译文：一次，栖息在曲库塔山森林中的大象首领带着他的雌象们前往湖泊，他不畏荆棘，折断了很多植物、蔓藤、灌木和树木。
Okay, so now Gajendra enters this, the picture, and he wants to enjoy in this beautiful surroundings with his female companions.
Gajendra, 就进入了我们的画面，他想要享受，和他那些雌象们呢，他的这些伴侣们，在这个美丽的自然环境当中尽情的享乐。
And let's see, it's describing more different types of animals and how they relate to the king of the elephants. Some of them run away and some are not afraid of him because he is merciful.
这里就提到了其他动物和它的关系，有一些怕它逃之夭夭，有一些呢不怕它，因为他们知道这个大象是很仁慈的。
He's a very powerful elephant.
他是一个很强壮的大象。
And so, in this mood of being very powerful, he wants to enjoy, so he enters into the lake.
因为他很强大，然后他又想享乐，就带着这种心态呢，他就进入了这个湖泊。
And there he's enjoying, he's drinking the fresh water.
他在那里享受啊，在喝那里的清新的水。
Okay, let's read verse 26.
26节，就像缺乏灵性知识的人极度依附家人一样，大象受到奎什那外在能量的迷惑，带着妻儿们在水中沐浴喝饮，他还用鼻子吸起湖水喷洒在他们的身上，对于这样的辛劳他一点儿也不在意。
Okay, this is one of a favorite theme in the Bhagavatam, and the theme is the illusion of material enjoyment.
这也是波迦瓦坛的一个主要一个主题，就是这个物质享乐的幻觉。
And here we have the word durmada. Durmada is translated as he who is too attached to the members of his family.
这里呢就有这个词儿 durmada， 它是对家人过度依附的。
And he's also described as kripana, being without spiritual knowledge.
他也被描述为 kripana， 没有灵性的知识。
And he's described as being influenced by the Lord's maya.
他也被描述为受到主的 maya 的影响。
Yeah, so on the one side, we have this very happy, beautiful scene that's been described in great detail.
这一方面，这里面详详细细的、不厌其烦的描述了那里的美丽的自然景观。
And on the other side, we have something terrible about to happen.
然后另一方面，就要有一个可怕的事情要发生了。
And this, I would suggest, is a general theme in the Bhagavatam.
这也是波迦瓦坛的一个常见的主题。
That material nature is very powerful, and one way that it's powerful is that it's very attractive.
物质自然是非常强大有力的，它的强有力的一个方面呢，就是它是很有吸引力的。
It's attractive and it is dangerous.
它既有吸引力，它也同时是很危险的。
So some years ago, I wrote an essay on this subject.
几年前我就此主题呢写了一篇论文。
And my article is called Nature Deadly and Nature Divine.
是致命的自然，神圣的自然。
And then a subtitle is the Bhagavata Purana's lessons on human relationships to the environment.
波迦瓦坛关于人类与自然的关系的教导。
So if you like, we could discuss a little bit this article that I wrote, because I think it's relevant here, and I use the story of Gajendra in my article.
大家喜欢的好吗? 哈尔就可以给我们讲讲这个论文的一些要点, 因为在他的论文当中就提到了向往Gajendra的故事。
Shall we do this?
Please.
Okay. So first I begin by saying there is a lot of concern about environmental destruction.
我首先提到了现在人们对这个环境的破坏呢有了很多的关注。
And perhaps we can learn something from the Bhagavata Purana in this matter.
也许就这一主题呢，我们可以从《博迦瓦谭》中得到一些借鉴。
And I say that there's a lot of talk in present day discussions about environmental protection, about what's called holism, or it is said we need to think holistically. You know what that means?
Means take a whole point of view, right?
Yeah, comprehensively, taking everything yes. into account.
Yes. 所以关于这个环境保护呢，人们已经说了，都各抒己见。 有一种观点呢，就是我们应该有一个全局意识，一个总体的观点。
We should think holistically, and we should avoid reductionism.
所以我们应该有着全局的意识，要避免这种退化的观点，或者是消极的观点。
So, but there's a lot of talk and a lot of plans, but we are all very much realizing how little we seem to be changing for the better what is happening.
关于这个环境保护我们说了很多，但是呢，我们发现对于环境保护，其实我们 真的是很无能为力的，或者是人单力薄的，能够做的真是很有限。So
then I talk about how do we understand our relationship with nature.
然后谈论了如何理解人类与自然的关系。
Traditionally, in many cultures all over the world, we understand our relation with nature through stories.
从这个传统的角度来看，众多的文明，他们理解人类与自然的关系呢，是通过故事。
And so, similarly, the Bhagavatam is telling stories.
同样的，圣典博迦瓦谭也给我们讲故事。
And here I don't mean story in the sense of not being true, but story in the sense of beginning, middle, end. There's a narrative.
我说的故事不是一些虚幻的事情，而是一种叙事。
Now, the Bhagavatam says a lot about nature in a philosophical way.
博迦瓦谭从这个哲学的角度谈论了很多关于自然的方面的主题。
So there are technical terms for nature, especially the word prakriti.
为自然有很多的专业的术语来描述它，比如说有一个词叫 prakriti。
But what I'm interested here in is not so much the philosophy in analytical way, but in stories.
但是我这里有兴趣来讲述的并不是从这个分析的角度去讲哲学，而是从这个故事的角度来看。
Because, I think by these stories, the Bhagavatam, ultimately gives us, this holistic view, which we so much need.
因为通过故事，博伽瓦坦给我们提供了一个综合的观点，一个整体的观点，是我们现在的人急需要去借鉴的。
And especially what we get is in the 10th canto, a description of the nature in Braja Vrindavan.
特别是圣典博伽瓦坦第十篇中提到了Braja Vrindavan 的自然。
And this Braja Vrindavan, I describe as the realm of eternal possibility.
我把这个 Braja Vrindavan 的自然景观描述为是永恒的可能性的国度。
And this, of course, we can also say is Krishna's divine playground.
我们也可以把这里称为是 Krishna 神圣的游乐场。
And this challenges us, or it invites us, to picture a proper human relationship to nature.
这会迫使我们画出一个人类与自然的一个恰当的关系的图画。
And this, the Bhagavatam gives us a wonderful promise that this relationship to nature can be realized how? Through devotional relationship to the owner of nature.
圣典博伽瓦坦也向我们保证说，这种人与自然的和谐关系也是能够实现的，通过人对这个自然的拥有者做出奉献服务而实现。
So that's all very wonderful in the 10th canto, but of course the Bhagavatam prepares us for the 10th canto with the first 9 cantos.
所以博伽瓦坦第十篇的所讲述的方法是非常美妙的，但是圣殿博伽瓦坦也是用一到九篇来为我们做好一个准备，来接受第十篇的教导。
And we encounter already in the first canto, this story of terrible destruction in which Kali meets and harms the cow and the bull.
在第一篇中，我们已经遭遇了可怕的卡利，在摧毁一头母牛和一头公牛。
And this is significant because the cow is the personified or the embodiment of the earth.
这是有重大意义的，因为母牛就是大地的人格化身。
And the bull is personified Dharma.
公牛呢是达玛的人格化身。
Where there is Dharma and where there is the earth properly cared for by human beings, then there will be a very nice harmony with nature.
哪里人们就是坚守达玛，很好的照顾母牛，人与自然就会有着完美的和谐。
So in that first canto description, Maharaj Parikshit is successful to protect the cow and the bull.
在马哈尔吉，sorry，那里是把风哎shut off。 Sorry, could you please say again?
Maharaj Parikshit is successful in protecting the cow and the bull from Kali.
Maharaj Parikshit成功地保护了公牛和母牛免遭Kali的毒手.
However, he also makes a place for Kali in his kingdom. And so Kali is present in the world today.
但是呢，他也给卡里呢，在他这个王国呢留了一个牺牲的地方，所以卡里呢至今依然在这个世界上存在着。So
then, continuing with the first canto, we hear about how Maharaj Parikshit, as a king, is out hunting, and he is hunting in the forest.
这第一篇中提到了，帕什大军作为国王，他在外出狩猎，进入了森林。So
of course, hunting, which was kind of especially permitted by kings, is a symbol of subduing nature.
这个国王呢，他是可以去狩猎的，这是一种征服自然的象征。By
killing wild animals.
通过杀死野生动物。But
what happened? Maharaj Parikshit became thirsty.
但是那时候, Maharaj Parikshit 突然口渴难耐。
So here, nature, in the form of the need for water, catches up with him, and it's going to be the cause of his own destruction.
这种口渴，这种感觉火烧火燎的，最后是导致了他的覆灭。
And, of course, we know the story, what happens, how he is, he shows his anger at the sage by putting the dead snake around his neck, and then the sage's son becomes angry and curses Maharaj Parikshit to die in 7 days.
他把一条蛇盘在了那个圣人的脖子上面，然后他的圣人的儿子呢因此而生气，他就诅咒了国王会在7日之内死亡。And
so, the curse from the young boy is that he will be bitten by a snake bird.
这个小男孩的诅咒是国王会被一个蛇鸟咬死。
Which means not a natural animal, but a kind of supernatural animal, which is able to magically change its form.
这就意味着不是一个自然界生长的动物，而是一个超自然的动物，它能够运用魔法改变自己的形象。
Okay, so there's a couple of things from this story that we can think about in relation to nature.
所以这个是一些故事可以让我们和自然产生联想的。
So one point is that there's a kind of chain reaction quality to this episode.
关于这样的主题呢，有这样的连锁反应。
So there's a cow and a bull, and there's water and there is a snake.
有这母牛、公牛，有水，然后还有一个蛇。
And the first three of these are objects of desire.
这三头三者是我们欲望的对象。
The first two, the cow and the bull, are objects of desire for Kali.
这个公牛母牛是卡利的欲望对象。
But for Maharaj Parikshit, they are subjects needing protection, not objects, but subjects.
对 Parikshit 大君来说，这个公牛母牛是他保护的对象，不是他享乐的对象。
And then water becomes an object of desire for the king.
然后水成了国王这个想要的对象。
But for the sage that he meets, water is an object of indifference.
对于圣人来说，这个水呢，就是他无动于衷的一个对象。
And also the fact that the king is a king is also a matter of indifference for the sage.
对于这圣人来说呢，国王也是他漠不关心的一个对象。
And then there is the snake.
然后就有这条蛇。
It is placed on around the neck of the sage. Normally, one would put like a flower garland, which is a kind of ornament.
后来国王就把一条蛇盘在了圣人的脖子上。通常人们是给圣人戴花环的，那是一种尊敬的表示。
And snakes in Sanskrit literature tend to these symbols of, well, they're symbols of death, but also of fate, unavoidable destiny.
这个蛇呢，在这个梵文里面，它就代表了是，无法避免的一种命运。Another meaning I forgot.
It has the meaning of fate.
Yes, fate, yes. 它有一种命运的含义。
And so fate has a sense of movement, of action, which is unavoidable.
所以命运呢，它是一种无法避免的活动。
And of course, here the snake symbolizes the end of Maharaj Parikshit's worldly existence as a king.
这里呢，蛇也象征着Parikshit 大君作为国王在这个世界存在的结束。
It's the end of material life and the beginning of his spiritual life.
这是他物质生活的终结，而是灵性生活的开端。
And then, of course, at the end of Canto 1, he meets with Shukadev Goswami.
在第一篇的末尾，他遇到了 Shukadeva Goswami.
Now, let's think about Shukadev for a moment.
让我们来想一会儿 Shukadeva Goswami.
When he comes to the where all the sages are assembled with Maharaj Parikshit, he's completely naked.
当他来到玛雪大军和众圣人聚坐在场地的时候呢，他那时候是完全赤身裸体。
And also, in chapter 2 of first canto, he is associated with the trees of the forest.
在第一篇第二章中，他在和森林中的大树交流。
And so from these two points, we can say Shuka is very much integrated with nature.
我们可以从这两点来看来，Sukadeva Goswami 他和自然是非常亲密的。
So Parikshit Maharaj was alienated from nature, and in contrast, Sukadeva is completely integrated.
I don't understand.
The word alienation. Do you know this word?
Can you explain it?
Alienate, to be separate from.
Yeah. Yes. 是脱离的。是 Maharaj is separated from the nature, right?
Yes, and he was trying to conquer nature when he was hunting in the forest.
Parishadajin 在森林中狩猎的时候，他试图是征服自然，所以他跟自然呢是有点脱离的。
But Sukadeva was completely in harmony with nature.
但是 Sukadeva Goswami 和自然是完全处在一种和谐的状态当中。
And so now they are meeting, and Parikshit becomes Sukadeva's student.
现在他们见面了。Parikshit 大军成为 Sukadeva Goswami 的学生。
Okay, so then I go on to talk about King Bharata in Canto 5.
然后我们再谈谈，我又谈论了在第五篇中 Bharata 大军的故事。
And here, also, you will be familiar with the story. When he renounces the world, he goes into the forest, so he goes into nature.
Bharata 大军弃绝这个世界的时候，他也是进入了大自然，来到了森林当中。
He is by himself, he's very peaceful, you could say he is integrated with nature as he meditates.
他一个人也非常平和，和自然友好相处，他独坐冥想。
But then what happens, we all know, he saves this baby deer as the mother is being attacked by a lion.
后来我们都知道发生了什么事儿，他拯救了一头小鹿，小鹿妈妈被一头狮子袭击了。
And of course, the lion attacking the deer reminds us that actually material nature is very dangerous.
鹿妈妈受到狮子的攻击，这也让我们想起了物质自然是非常危险的。
And then comes how Bharata becomes very absorbed in caring for this baby deer.
后来我们也看到，Bharata 大军是多么尽心尽力的去照顾这头小鹿。
And he becomes so absorbed that in his next life he becomes a deer.
这么投入，结果在下世成了一头小鹿。
And this is represented in the Bhagavatam as a fall down. He has fallen from his yoga practice.
这在国家宝坛里面，被指出来，他是从自己的瑜伽休息当中堕落了下来。
And I'm wondering, this may also be seen in a positive way.
有时候我也在想，这也可以从一个积极的角度来看。
Because in his next life as a deer, what happens? He stays near or in one ashram of sages.
而他大军下辈子当了一头小鹿，他生活的地方呢，就离圣人的修院很近。
And here it seems to me there are two things happening.
在我看来，似乎发生了两件事儿。
One is he's getting the benefit of hearing and associating with these sages.
一点呢是他得到了聆听圣人，并且与圣人联谊的机会。
And at the same time, he's existing in the body of a deer, so he's experiencing directly what it is to live in nature.
他生活在这个鹿的身体当中，他就有了对于处于大自然是怎么样的一个感受，有了直接的体验。
And so he experiences, a deep empathy, with living beings.
所以他对生物体产生了感同身受的深刻的情怀。
We have two words in English. There's empathy and there's sympathy.
英语里面有两个词儿，一个是感同身受，一个是同情。
So, when someone suffers, we see them suffer, we may feel some sympathy for them.
We may feel 你看到别人受苦受难遭罪的模样，你可能对他产生同情之心。
But empathy goes deeper. It's a feeling for another, which is based on personal experience.
是基于个人的体验，对另外一个人产生了一种共鸣。
So now, when Bharata takes his next life again as a Brahmin, he is going to be very, very careful to not even harm an ant.
在下一世，巴尔塔成为一位婆罗门，他非常小心，他甚至不愿意伤害一只蚂蚁。
Yeah, and so now Bharata has become, we can say, fully mature. So that he is able to very powerfully preach to King Rahugana.
这时候 Bharata 大军已经足够成熟了，他可以跟Rahugana 王非常有力的传教。
Okay, so these are two episodes, and then what else do I talk about here? Well, in general, we can say there's, in Sanskrit literature, in the Bhagavatam, forests are places of attraction and of danger.
是刚刚讲了两段故事，《博伽瓦坛》里面把森林呢描写为一个具有吸引力的地方，同时也是一个危险之地。
You can say the forest represents the threat, threatening counterpart to the Dharma order of human life.
我们可以说这个森林呢是我们人类社会这个有着礼法或者是世俗责任的一个对立面。
So to illustrate this point, we have in Canto 6, the story of Ajamila.
为了描述这一点，我们有第六篇中阿迦弥勒的故事。
So, Ajamila represents, the Brahmin Dharmic human life.
阿迦弥勒就代表了婆 婆罗门那种尽忠职守的人类生活。
But as we know, there is trouble. As a young man, he goes to the forest to gather firewood and pick flowers.
我们也知道，他也遭遇了一个麻烦。他去森林里面去去收集木柴和鲜花的时候。
And that's when he gets in trouble.
就在那时候他就陷入了一场麻烦。
When he sees the Shudra and the Shudrani embracing, he falls down.
他看到一个Shudra 和 Shudrani 在拥抱。
And so,his own lustful nature takes overwhelms, it takes over.
他就被自己的内心的色欲冲昏了头脑。
And so here again, there is an engagement with nature. In this case, the forest is, the danger of the forest is associated with the danger of the opposite sex, in this case women, for the young Brahmin, Ajamila.
在这个方面看来，跟森林打交道就意味着年轻的 Ajamila 被这个女子吸引，有这样的危险。
And so this young woman whom he sees in the forest, she represents nature as illusion.
他在森林中看到的这个女子就代表了使我们产生幻觉的自然。
She is a manifestation of Maya in relation to human desire.
在与人类关系这个方面，它就展示的是它就是玛雅的展示。
And of course, this is the illusory, and we can say magical potency of the Lord that holds conditioned souls in the cycle of birth and death.
这是主的迷幻力量，他把这个受条件限制的灵魂捆缚在这个生死轮回当中。
Well, in the Bhagavatam, this is only one sort of representation of women.
这是博伽瓦坛里面对女子的一种表达方式。
There are also descriptions of dharmic wives and mothers.
也有对一些尽忠职守的母亲和妻子们的描述。
And of course, they represent dharma, and in that respect, they are supportive of bhakti, of devotion.
他们代表着达玛，在这个方面呢，他们就是支持了 bhakti 或者奉爱。
And especially in the 10th canto, we have the ideal women, the gopis, the young girls, in their intense devotion to Krishna.
特别是圣典博伽瓦坛第十篇中有那些年轻的牧牛姑娘们，对 Krishna 有着强烈的奉爱。
So here, women exemplify the very highest level of devotion.
在这里，妇女体现了高度的奉爱之情。
But it's interesting that the gopis, at least some of the gopis in the Bhagavatam, are represented as being very simple village girls or even tribal girls, which suggests also a kind of wildness or nature association.
这些牧牛姑娘们呢，被刻画为非常单纯的乡下姑娘，甚至有一些就是部落中的姑娘。这也就意味着，这些部落姑娘们有一种就是自然的那种野性。Well,
there's more in this article. I go on to talk about Vrindavan, but here I think I'll continue with our discussion of Canto 8, Chapter 2, because we left Gajendra, the elephant, in this lake.
Maharaj 在他的文章当中又谈了很多关于文达文的这些方面。 但是呢，我们已经把 Gajendra 留在那湖里面太长时间了，现在该回来看看他了。So
now let's read verse number 27.
27节。国王啊，由于主的安排，一只凶猛的鳄鱼对大象愤怒不已，它在水中袭击了大象的一条腿。大象固然十分强壮有力。
Okay, a couple of Sanskrit words. One is graha. Graha means crocodile.
这里面有一个翻译词, graha, 它的意思是鳄鱼。
And also, this comes from the word graha, with a short A. Which means to grasp, to grab something sharply with the fingers, with the hands.
Graha, 它的意思是抓住，是用手或者是其他的物体来紧紧的抓住。
And the word graha also means planet. In discussions of astrology, where there are questions of different planets influencing us, the word graha will typically be used.
在这个星象学中，关于各种各样的星球对人的影响，常常用 graha 这个词来表达。And
also we have this word, we have, for example, anugraha. The word anugraha comes to mean mercy.
还有这样的词儿 anugraha。 它的意思就是仁慈。
And we also have the word vigraha, which means the deity, form of the Lord.
我们还有vigraha, 这是主的神像形体。
And another word from Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saragrahi, a saragrahi Vaishnava.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur 还说过, Saragrahi Vaishnava.
So the word Sara means essence.
Sara 的意思是精华.
Jinghua. And so a Saragrahi is a person who grasps the essence.
Saragrahi 的意思是一个能够抓住精华实质的人。
And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the highest devotee is a Saragrahi Vaishnava.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur 说，最崇高的 奉献者就是 Saragrahi Vaishnava.
Because he or she is able, to grasp, to appreciate, the essence of anything.
因为这样的奉献者能够抓住任何事物的精髓。
He or she can appreciate, the value of any situation, of any person.
他们能够理解任何人或者是任何处境的价值。
Of any tradition.
或者是任何传统的价值。
Yes, so in other words, this other Sanskrit term we have is Paramahansa.
还有一个梵文词是 Paramahansa.
Yeah. The Hamsa is a swan said to be able to extract milk from a mixture of milk and water.
Hamsa 是天鹅，它据说能够把牛奶从水中分离出来。
Recently I heard someone explain how the swan does this.
最近我听说有的人给我讲了这天鹅是怎么样让牛奶和水分离的。
In the mouth of the swan, there is some acid.
天鹅的嘴巴中有一种酸性物质。
And when the swan sucks in the milk and water, the milk reacts with the acid and makes a kind of curd, a kind of cheese.
当牛奶和水进入天鹅的口中，这个牛奶呢和天鹅嘴中的那个酸呢，酸性物质就发生了反应，就形成了奶酪。
And this means, naturally, then there's a separation of what was milk by becoming cheese, separation from the water.
这就是一个自然的安排。牛奶到了天鹅的口中就变成了奶酪，就与水自然而然分离出来了。
So, here we have the word graha, a crocodile means a grasper.
这里有 graha 这个鳄鱼，这就意味着它是一个抓住者或者是攫取者。
And the other interesting word here in the third line is yadrichaya.
第三个词儿是 yadrichaya,
which Srila Prabhupada translates as occurring due to providence.
帕帕的翻译为是由于天意的安排而发生。
And this is a word that comes a few times in the Bhagavatam, not so many. I think only, I don't know, three, four, five times.
这个词儿在《薄伽瓦坛》里面出现过几回，大概有五回吧。
But it's a kind of mysterious idea. It's something like Daiva, which can also mean destiny.
它也可以指的是半身人或者是天意命运。
But it usually means it has to do with some meeting. For example, if Narada Muni appears, it may be Yadrichaya, that it just happens. It just so happened that Narada Muni came.
这也可以指一些聚会见面，比如说 Narada Muni 就这样出现了。
So here it's also like that. It just so happened that this crocodile came.
这头鳄鱼就这么出现了。
Yeah. So it's it's, as I said, it's a little bit mysterious because what does that mean? Is it really just happens or it's under the Lord's control? What is going on?
这是有一点点神秘的。就是这么碰巧发生了呢还是处在主的控制之下？
So then the trouble begins. We have an elephant, the king of elephants, but he's being attacked by a crocodile, and the crocodile is in its own element. It's in water, which means it's very strong.
这个大象呢是大象之王，但是呢鳄鱼呢是处在水中，这对他来说是一个自然的环境。
And so there is a fight, and the fight goes on for 1,000 years.
大象和鳄鱼激战了一千年。
That's a long time.
这是战斗了很久。
Okay, now I'll end here because with verse number 30, we have a very interesting purport from Srila Prabhupada, but I want to discuss that I want to take some time for that, so I think we'll stop here.
Okay, 30节中的要旨，帕帕德给了我们非常有意义的说明阐释。马尔就想要和我们详细的讨论这一点，所以今天的讲课呢就到这里。
Yeah, so I will say thank you all so much.
马尔就说非常感谢大家的聆听。
And all my best wishes for everyone who is or will be listening.
给所有的聆听的奉献者最好最美好的祝愿。
And I hope you will be inspired to read and study the Bhagavatam on your own.
希望你们能够得到激励，能独自去阅读研究圣典波迦瓦坛。
Yes.Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Maharaj Ki Jai. So, Maharaj.
Yes.
So, what are your plans for next class?
Well, that's kind of difficult because the next few weeks, so many other things are happening. I'll be going to India.Fairly soon. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know how it's going to be. But you please write me a note after some time and we'll try to figure out.
Okay. Maharaj, one devotee asked you a question. Do you have a time to answer?
Well, we can try.
Yes. Bart meet the obstacle in spiritual practice.It's a coincidence or the arrangement of Godhead. 说这个加Krishna Mataji 问 Guru 圣王 Bharat 灵修宿主是种偶然还是神手的安排？
In this case, we can say it's an arrangement of Krishna because it teaches a lesson to him.And it also teaches a lesson to us.
在这种情况下，我认为这是 Krishna 的安排，因为通过这件事儿，给了 Bharata 大军一个教训，也给了我们大家一个教训。
Yeah. Okay. So thank you all so much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Or Premanande Hari Hari Bo.
Krishna.